Bird Free Podcast.
Is it?
I don't want to do this now because I feel like I have to say it on the live stream. So just like
just be for the audio people.
I already put it in the comments that's why we're late to the live stream.
Is sorry for the delay. There's a bird.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, wait another.
Yeah.
That's real. That's real.
It is a real reason. I walked in basically late like always, and Dave said there's a bird.
Yeah.
So.
What can I say?
I believe your question was, what's up?
Yeah, I said, what's up?
And Hagen and I both said, birds.
Birds.
Yeah, I thought birds. You guys were doing a bit.
That we're doing dad jokes.
But
I do have a student that for a while, I used to say, what's up? And he would go, the sky.
Yeah.
Is it just promoting random shit for
that
you?
That was a dad
watch?
Joke.
That's awesome. I hate this. I hate this.
We're having a great time.
I'm having a great time.
Just have some of your protein shake.
I'm confused. If you just say dad joke, that picks it up?
It was that one.
It was that one? You got three of these. I don't know.
That was the Apple one that picked it up.
But none of us said.
We didn't say the wake word.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't on purpose say the wake word, but we might
that's
have.
That's true.
Yeah.
True.
Might have said something that sounds like the wake word.
I guess if you say birds dad joke, is it trigger it?
What is it? What is that? My device?
What?
I like dad jokes. So I'd be the most likely out of the three of us to program that into happening.
No, it makes sense why that's a feature because all these products are made by like dads who think they're really funny.
Yeah.
You've seen Apple's keynotes, right?
Like, yeah.
It's just dads who think they're super funny.
All right. Thanks for your patience, everybody. God damn it. Man, let me tell you. Don't do birds, not even once.
No.
That's what they say, right?
That's what all the advertisements say.
Yeah, don't do birds.
Not even once. Not even once.
Is that the talk you have to have with your kids at one point? Don't do the birds?
Just don't do the birds. Don't do the birds. I'm going to just, before we even air horn in, I'm going to just go ahead and set the record straight here. I didn't let the birds into my house. But
they broke in.
But the birds,
they are here.
They are here currently. No, hopefully not. We're fingers crossed.
Yeah.
But we're pretty sure they are. they're all informants for the government, Ian. That is incredibly true.
Birds aren't real.
Because we did that,
I forgot about that
semi-political episode.
Exactly.
Now we've got bird spies.
And let me tell you, I got off work early today, guys. It was nice. I said, hey, can I leave early? And they said, yep, 30 minutes early. I said, that's awesome. So I left 30 minutes early. And then I get home and I said, I got time to work out before we do the episode. So I got a workout in before we started. I was leaving. I just cleaned myself up a little bit after the workout. I step out into the kitchen and what do I hear but the fluttering of bird wings. And I scream, oh, holy shit! And I am like, it takes me probably too long to recognize there's actually a fucking bird in my house. And so I scream for my wife. I say, Kara! And she's in the other room playing video games. So I called her ass. And she, I was like, there's a bird in our house. Where's our cat? Do you have are the animals good? And then I had to get the bird, pick it up. And did you just see it?
No,
shut
it's probably
fuck up, Ian. Don't
it's probably,
even
probably podcast moth.
Probably podcast moth.
Yeah, I was gonna say we confirmed there's no birds in the room.
No birds in the
no
room.
No birds in the room.
No holes in the ceiling for them to come in through.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe that's
as far as we can see.
As far as we can tell. Yeah. So I got the bird out. Didn't like doing that. That was fine.
I'm paranoid now. It's like looking
just
around
looking behind you, the shadows
for birds.
Yeah. Just dude, well, just check the camera. See,
I just got warm.
Oh, I've been warm.
Oh my god.
So then, I'm like trying to finish. Did the birds get the bird? No, dude, I tried to take care of the bird, man.
What do you think the other birds came to get the bird? Like, bird, we got you, bird.
Well, kind of.
Well, actually, yeah, that might be the case. They might
really.
They might have seen one bird go in the fireplace,
and then
and
so
like,
we gotta take care of that bird.
Gotta go get him,
bro. It was,
but
then,
it turns out you have like a one-way door in your fireplace or something.
Yeah,
it goes
exactly.
The wrong way.
Yeah. And then I had to get had to pick up bird number one, take it outside, and then and then Dave walked in and said that there was just a bird in the house. We were sitting right here getting ready, and we heard the fluttering, Yeah. Again.
Again, in the chimney. And chimney.
And yeah, Dave was like, what was that? I was like, it's more fucking birds, man. It's more fucking birds. Are you fucking kidding me? And so then that bird snuck out and yeah.
It literally snuck out through like the barricade that
we
y'all had.
We have a
up.
Barricade.
And
yes.
It snuck out and started flying around. Before I knew it, Hagen had oven mitts on and was apologizing to this bird, literally giving it pet names. I don't know if you even realize this, but you were like,
honey.
You were like, I'm so sorry, honey. I'm so sorry.
I feel bad. I'm picking it up. It's not friendly. It's not nice.
And then you go around the corner chasing the bird. Adam and I are still in your kitchen. And I go, do you need any help? And you're like, yes, open the back door.
Close the door behind me.
I open the back door. Hagen walks out with a bird by the wing in an oven mitt.
I was trying to keep it in both hands, and it just wouldn't deal. So I had
it. It was a floppy bird.
And I was not about to let it out again.
I'd flop. If a giant thing grabbed me,
oh yeah, yeah,
I'd flop
yeah.
around.
Yeah.
I don't blame the bird.
No,
but then you walked into the abyss of your backyard because the lights were not out there.
So
you were like, "Close the door behind me."
Yeah. I don't know. If you say "bird" three times as fast as you can, a bird will flutter somewhere through the episode. Hey, Lupe, you want to come over and get birds out of my house? Shut the fuck up.
What do you think? Bird like whisperer?
There's some, experience there.
Yeah. Oh man. So it's been a great start to the episode. Been an awesome start. Morning. Welcome to Don't Feed the Birds. I'm Hagen.
I'm Dave.
I'm Adam.
Fucking Christ, man. That's crazy.
Do you think there's another podcast called Don't Feed the Birds?
We could find out pretty quick.
Yeah. Honestly, there might be. Yeah.
We could find out pretty quick. We're back. We took last week off because I said, no, I don't want to see you guys. Taking a break. No, that's not.
Yeah, that's what the message said to me.
Yeah, that's what your message
said. Dave got a different one.
Yeah, I got a different one.
Dave got a message that said, I'm really fucking tired of seeing Adam. Can we skip this week?
But also, hey, don't come over to my house.
Yeah.
Well, exactly, and also, the eclipse is happening soon, so like, if the world ends, we don't have to do another one. If
the eclipse is happening, my schedule's real busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that's how people were acting about the hour of your life was the eclipse. Like stop the fucking presses, guys.
I do think it's insane that people bought hotel rooms and flew to a different part of the country.
I think yes, but it was really cool.
I appreciate people who are like eclipse chasers.
Like,
and
it definitely was like overhyped, and I was like, it's gonna be neat to see, but like not a huge deal. I've seen partial eclipses, especially recently, the last couple years.
Yeah.
A few times, and it's like that's cool, but like
there's a huge difference between partial and full.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing too is like, I no way am I saying it wasn't cool. It was cool to
see. Sounds like you're saying it wasn't cool.
But
you sound like an eclipse hater.
Maybe a little bit. But
and that's why there are birds in your house.
But that's not why there are birds.
Adam,
in my
are there birds in your house?
It's because I not said currently. Adam's ugly.
Yeah.
That's why.
No birds in my house.
Well,
not currently.
Listen, sorry I didn't fucking jack off to the eclipse, but I was a little busy at work. Okay, so
there is 100% an aspect of everybody who's like really excited about the eclipse is like you are in a job where you can just take off work and go do that.
Yeah.
You're saying like you're very privileged.
By
being like, I'm so excited for the eclipse. I got an Airbnb out somewhere, and then it's somebody's entire month's rent or whatever.
That thing was crazy. But I do think that like I think eclipse chasers are cool. I think people who are super into it are cool, who are willing to take time off, whether it be like their job allows them to, or they have the time that they can just like, you know, hey, we can have a cool little like place to go watch it. Or like I know people who had like their telescopes and backyards where they could see everything.
That's cool.
It's really, really cool. I got no problem with any of that shit. It's just it's really interesting to like see the position of like student after student, for example, coming in and just seeing how they felt about the eclipse. I asked every single one this week so far, see the eclipse, and just seeing it from all ages, adults to kids, being like either it was awesome or I don't care.
It's one or the other.
Yeah.
There's not both.
Yeah. There's like it was really fast. It was over quick, and I don't know. It was fine. Yeah. I'm not an eclipse hater. I thought it was cool. I definitely, it was definitely interesting to watch everybody hype about it. But it does it doesn't happen very often. But yeah, it's interesting.
That was the weird part too, talking about this with like people that I work with who don't work here. They work like on the East Coast or the West Coast, and they maybe weren't in the path, and they were just like, why is everybody making such a big deal about this? Like, there's going to be another one in a couple of years. And we're like, yeah, for y'all.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
So that's the part of like traveling I don't really get is like another one's going to hit where you live, or maybe closer to where you live,
right,
more easily soon. Like, there's somebody I know who lives in California who was talking about taking a train to come out here.
Huh?
He doesn't want to fly.
Hold on.
Will it take him...
5 days.
I was going to say 7 days and 7 nights of travel.
Five days.
That is some privileged shit right there.
Yes.
I'm going to take a 5 day train ride for 3 minutes.
No. He's train hopping for that. That's not a life of luxury.
In California, where
hobo privilege.
There will be an eclipse visible where he lives in 3 years.
Oh, shit.
So it's like, this doesn't make any sense, dude.
Yeah, right.
That's crazy. No sense.
Well,
those people don't, that doesn't make sense. If you live in like Kansas and you're not going to see an eclipse because there's not going to be one passing by you for the next 40 years, and like, cool. If you wanted to drive down 35, that's not a big deal.
Yeah. But I mean, the next full eclipse, they said it was like 2045, right? Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to travel to see that.
No.
Yeah.
Not at
all. No.
Because you got to see one this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. I mean, it was like,
it's like people who need an excuse to go on a vacation.
Sure.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah. Coachella's coming up.
Oh, sure. That's hardly a vacation.
I mean, for a lot of people, that's vacation.
Yeah, I know.
They get to, you know, glamp out at Coachella, and that's their shit. So, I mean, yeah, again, I'm not an eclipse hater. I think it's cool. I like to watch.
It was definitely overrated. It was cool.
It was cool.
But overrated.
It was cool.
If it was not convenient for me to go to, I would not have gone.
Yeah. If I didn't work, I probably wouldn't have gone to Dallas for it to have like 100%.
I mean, I went to North Dallas. It was fine.
Yeah, yeah. So. What time did you get? Like, did you head that direction?
Earlier in the day.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter.
Okay.
I didn't
okay.
need to be there earlier.
Okay. So okay.
There was no traffic, and there were just clouds coming in on the way down. I was like,
no traffic.
No. No.
Yeah.
And wild. Like the clouds coming in as I was going down to Dallas was like, this, I think it's going to be really funny if it's really cloudy, because like
it's going to be super.
We'll still
funny.
See something, and like none of us are going to freak out because we didn't drive somewhere and we're not staying to like travel there or fly there or whatever. All these people out of town, like, you know, down towards like Austin and all that, it's like they would have been really mad. And it's like, yeah, well, that's what happens.
I've seen people posting
Texas
about
Texas weather, like
flying somewhere, renting an expensive Airbnb with a balcony, facing in the right direction,
and then clouds.
God, that's fucking funny.
Yeah.
Get shit on. That's so fucking funny. Oh my God.
That's a gamble.
Yeah, that is an expensive bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
For 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Don't feed the eclipse. That's great. But yeah, that's why we canceled last week, because the eclipse was on Monday. So I had to prepare. I had to travel, make sure I could do that.
Yeah, you had to travel to be in the path, you know. You had a flight that day, you were gonna be on the plane going the whole
birds
path.
Flew me.
The birds
flew me.
They're coming maybe back because you didn't pay. You didn't tip them. You didn't tip the birds.
The birds flew me to where I could watch the eclipse. They actually got me a lot fucking closer to where I could watch the eclipse.
They're repaying the favor.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, now we're back. We're here. We're happy to be here. We're gonna talk about a couple news things real quick here. Unless you guys want to use anything else you guys want to talk about before we dive into this shit?
No.
All right. These are pretty short things here. We are the number one fan podcast for Morgan Wallen. I think we can comfortably say that. Number one fan podcast, right?
I don't want those words in the transcript of this episode.
I don't know how to respond.
Yeah.
You know,
sorry, what I meant was fuck Morgan Wallen.
Yeah, I was going to say.
There we go.
My favorite Morgan Wallen thing is when he says the slurs.
Yeah.
That's my favorite thing about Morgan Wallen.
This might be your new favorite thing about Morgan Wallen. He was arrested this past weekend. 3 felony counts of reckless endangerment and 1 misdemeanor count of disorderly conduct. So he was at a rooftop bar on Sunday night.
Didn't he think the eclipse was happening then?
he got real scared. He started throwing shit at the moon.
I gotta get up high.
Thought it was at night.
He was at another country artist, Eric Church's new 6-story bar, restaurant, and live music venue called Chiefs in Nashville. And
honestly, that sounds like a personal hell.
A six-story
Nashville bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
6-story. Oh, it's a bar, restaurant, and live music venue.
Helping.
Yeah, I don't
not
know.
Helping.
I'd go.
Every bachelorette party is going to be on each level.
Yes.
Hell yeah, dude. let's get fucked up and go there. That's awesome. So according to Metro Nashville Police, he threw a chair from the rooftop basically at two police officers at the bottom.
Hold on. Like,
isn't he a back the blue guy?
Did he... question. Did he know that the police officers were down there, or did he just throw the chair?
It's unclear. All,
like,
it's...
wanting... I picture him trying to be in that rock and roll pantheon of, like, these crazy legendary stories of, like, Joe Walsh and all these people.
Yeah,
and he's
yeah.
just thinking, hey, man, I could do that, too. Probably said some slurs.
It probably went something like that. As far as we know, all he did was throw a chair at what looked like at the police officer. It landed next to the police officers. He might not have been throwing it at the police officers directly, but it looked like that.
That's,
I like that. Not knowing any of the details further behind this is like, I like that the cops, I can just imagine they went to that bar and they were like, where's the guy who threw the fucking chair? And all these people pointed at him and it's like, that is that asshole.
That guy. Yeah. That guy. He threw it. He threw the chair.
That guy who's been up for 4 days and had 30 Coors Lights.
He's about to start his tour.
No, he's not.
I think he will. He doesn't have to go to court until May 3rd, and he only has to pay $15,000 to get out of that was his bond.
That's his bond.
He's gonna sell more tickets now.
Yeah. Exactly. No, this is the biggest bummer about this guy is that he's gonna sell a lot more tickets now because of that.
Yeah.
But it is still very funny that he got arrested. The footage of him getting
arrested
is very
funny.
He's probably
gonna get handed SNL again too. Like,
fuck.
I don't know if Lauren Michaels likes that kind of thing.
I hope they
he did last time.
I hope they make fun of him. I hope they make fun of the chair. That would be
funny. I hope they don't talk about him because we don't need to keep talking about this guy.
Just like a skit about the chair being famous now. Yeah.
Just interviewing the cops, like, yeah, some asshole threw a chair at us.
Yeah. I agree. I think we don't need to talk about him any more than that. That's a good spot.
I'm saying we can. I just mean mass media. We don't need to keep him.
That's all the story is right now. He threw a fucking chair.
It's good that he got arrested.
And I do want to go to... I would like to go to that bar. That sounds fun. Let's go to that six-story restaurant bar live music venue. Let's go.
Does it have a new name, like chair-throwing bar or something? Like,
I mean, it's called Chiefs, and it just opened, so it's not really that too late to change it to chairs. Yeah,
see? Chairs?
That'd be funny. Yeah.
You can make it a whole thing. You can pay $150 and get to toss a chair off into the parking spot that's not, you know, taken or something.
That would be sick. That would be super cool. Well, I think that we'll move off of is it Clint Eastwood's chair?
Oh, because he says chief.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
there's a lot of layers to that joke.
I figured there was a lot of layers to that joke. Yeah, yeah.
Leave it to Blake.
That's good. Yeah.
So we'll move past this because this next thing is near and dear to my heart and maybe relatively complicated, but we won't spend too long on it. So my favorite band, Between the Buried and Me, for the last year or so has been without one of their members, Dusty, because of allegations. And
sensual ones.
Yep. That one. Yes.
Okay.
And those allegations.
Am I missing the voice on that?
No.
Okay. No. It depends on who you talk to. Those allegations are going to be that either... like the allegations are true, or that his lawyer found all this evidence that said the allegations aren't true, and whatever. It depends on who you talk to. You can look at a lot of different pieces of information, decide for yourself. I will say publicly that I am on the side of the person who accused him, but that's neither here nor there. So as of yesterday, two days ago, this guitar player posted... the lawsuit for him suing Between the Buried and Me. So he is suing his band. This law document is not that long. It's just two pages. But it is still has some stuff in there that's a little weird. Now, the kind of first thing that I'll mention that I think is strange is it includes transcriptions from phone calls between the two law offices. Those transcriptions were specifically only done by AI. No one double-checked it. There was no recording. It's just AI. There's, like, weird syntax, grammatical errors, all this kind of stuff that's like, wait, this sentence reads super weird, which it could. When someone's on the phone, they could say something that's like, oh, this doesn't sound like...
Sure.
But that is, like, a kind of a weird thing. I know that that's happening more in legal documents now, that AI is, like, being, like, you know... I was talking to a friend of the show, Jackson, about this, and he was talking about how in Australia they actually got rid of all... transcriptionists, replaced them with AI. Then they realized how shitty it was. They went back to hire them again, and they all said, no, we're not coming back. Fuck you.
That's where you say, like, yeah, it's 10 times the salary now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're like, if our job's that replaceable, fuck you. Yeah. Like, what do you mean? Right. Why would we go back?
Yeah, because it's in their minds, the business people. It's just a couple years until we can replace them again.
Right, so. Exactly.
Right.
So, okay, so that's kind of like my first weird red flag. But these phone calls, and I hate to kind of like, you know, give a broad stroke here, but I'll give as much of a broad stroke as I can. These phone calls are basically Dusty's lawyer trying to get an answer as to why, like Between the Buried and Me has not included Dusty in live performances and why they were trying to kick him out, which they attempted to, apparently. January of 2023, they had a meeting with him attempting to kick him out of the band.
Which is as soon as that stuff hit the fan.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So the confusion lies in some of these statements between like what the reasons were. Initially, one of the reasons that the law office gave, which is not a good reason, is that he had health issues and had to sit on one of their tours, which is like they can't fire him for that.
Sitting?
For having to sit. They are like, you know, the Between the Buried and Me's law office was like based on the style of music, you know, we would like for him to stand. It's not really, you know, but that's like, that's not really how disability stuff works. So not really great. But the other reasons they gave were the sexual assault allegations, the ability to his failure to render first class live performances. B, his failure to timely notify the band of his inability to perform at all in live performances. And C, the overall demeanor and negative behavior with his fellow bandmates, their family members, and the band's crew. So those are the main reasons why cited that they were trying to fire him. And since Dusty's lawyer felt that those reasons were not good enough, he said, this is completely untethered to any facts or any discussions. Thus, we are left to assume the real reasons are, one, that Tommy, the singer, was upset that Mr. Waring objected to his wife, Tommy's wife, making public statements supporting the extortionist's false claims against Mr. Waring. So I guess Tommy's wife was posting about the sexual assault allegations. Dusty was upset about that. And then this is where things get a little confusing. The other reason would be the band members now realize that by getting rid of Mr. Waring, they each receive a financial windfall of 25% of the profits, whereas before they only received a 20% share. This translates to a 7-figure incentive for each member to get rid of Mr. Waring.
Hold on.
Well, that argument is like they just discovered math. Like,
yeah, first of all.
Well, okay.
Second of all. Do we think there are millions of dollars coming in and out of the Between the Buried and Me camp?
So how first of all, how does that statement read to you? Does that statement read to you that each get $1 million?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the implication by that is kind of wild. Like,
yeah.
the notion that like 5% of like 5% of their shares is $1 million is wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, band fires rapists to make more money.
Alternative headline.
Yeah. So that's what unfortunately
that's what it
sounds like. a lot of like the certain people on the side are like, you know, like, oh, they're just trying to make more money. Like they're using Dusty because they want to be on yachts. I'm like, what?
We're talking about.
I'm pretty sure if 5% is $1 million, you still have yacht money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking about prog metal here.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
We're talking about selling out trees in
niche,
Dallas.
A very niche market.
Yeah. Like the idea that.
Successful still.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But not.
Absolutely.
Not everybody's receiving $5 million now.
Yeah.
Successful.
The idea that 20% could be $1 million and that amongst the other members, there could be a windfall of $1 million.
Uh-huh.
I could potentially believe that, but they're not firing him for that.
No.
Like,
no.
Well, and again, the lawyer's argument, like, basically is like, they just discovered how math works and realized they can fire somebody. It's like,
yeah,
is that really your argument? Like,
it was also shared to me that Dusty's lawyer is a huge Trump supporter, so that's pretty fun too.
Well, there you go.
I wouldn't
be surprised if Dusty was.
Oh, I think he is.
Honestly, okay, that makes more sense now.
Yeah.
So, bye-bye Dusty, officially. Mm-hmm. I would say. I mean, no going back from this.
No. He is not in the band anymore. There's no fucking way that he is. He's coming
at that point. If you were the other band members and like legally you were forced to have him in the band,
stop the band.
For whatever. Yeah, you'd just be like, well, cool, we all fucking quit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I mean,
enjoy your 5%.
It would be crazy if Dusty wanted to stay in the band after that. I mean, like, I don't know what he's like trying to get out of it. I'm sure it says somewhere in there, but the craziest part of it all is just that like we're even mentioning that, like, you know, these sexual assault allegations are like potentially false, and that's like, I don't know, it's like none of that's been proven in court either. His lawyer scared the person, basically, is like the way I see it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's super weird. Blake says in the chat, every time I die again, I did talk to a friend and we're like, we already lost Every Time I Die. I'm not going through this shit again. I don't think they're breaking up. I think they're going to come out the other side of this and it's just going to split the fandom. I don't think it'll be an even split, but it'll split some of the fans. So if you go on like Reddit, go on Facebook and stuff, people are like, man, this is going to change the way I view Tommy and Paul, man. Like,
oh, like, you mean the not rapists?
Yeah, like, I don't like.
Sorry,
don't,
so I guess we should trigger warning because I'm saying that word so freely, but
yeah, like it's a very strange thing to be like, sorry, this changes your perspective on somebody. Yeah. They're not being snakes. They tried to fire their bandmate.
Yeah,
and
also tried to do it quietly.
Yeah,
yeah,
he's and the one drawing attention to it. Being
he
like,
posted it.
You could go to Dusty's Instagram and read the whole document. He posted the whole fucking thing, which is like...
Red paint really did a number on America.
But yeah, so that's some just wild shit, in my opinion, of just like how, you know, like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, so I Between the Bear and Me is still my favorite band. That hasn't changed for me. I don't view Dusty. I view Dusty 100% differently. Yeah. I don't view any of the other members differently. In fact, I probably view them a little bit stronger for trying to do this quietly, trying to do this behind closed doors.
Yeah,
and then something comes.
Yeah, and trying to make $1 million,
dude. There's no fucking way. Dude, there's no way.
They are trying to fucking just quit and be on yachts. That's That's
for like 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, how much does this lawyer think a yacht costs?
Yeah.
The lawyer doesn't have yacht money either. Obviously.
Yeah.
But like, there's just no, because there's five people in the band, right? Mm-hmm. So him quitting potentially nets them 7 figures each.
Even if it's figures split between them, it's like, that's not really like a
$250,000.
That's not like a shocking statement for a successful band. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
this is
it sounds worse when you say 7 figures because it's like that could mean $9 million. Like it doesn't.
Yeah.
The statement says, I'll read it again. The band members now realize that by getting rid of Dusty, they each receive a financial windfall of 25% of their profits. Whereas before, they only received a 20% share. This translates to a 7-figure incentive for each member to get rid of Dusty.
Yeah. Okay.
That makes it super clear that they mean $1 million.
That's implying at least $1 million per member, which means
5% is $1 million.
Yeah. Which means that they are thinking that we're right to assume that each member gets $5 million.
$4 million, yeah.
Or $4 million, whatever. Sorry. If somebody was like, do you want $5 million or $4 million? I'd be like, dude, I'll take $4 million.
Fire him now. I want $5 million. Yeah. Like, what?
Also, like, how long have they been a band? Like 20 years, right?
With that lineup since 2005?
Seven? Yeah, 2005.
Sure, but like, just some of these guys have been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
If they thought that this was the way to make more money, they would have fired somebody sooner.
Yeah.
Like,
and probably the asshole.
It's not like they've been doing particularly well in the last few years. Like they've been, and I hate to say this isn't meant to be a dig.
They survived the pandemic.
Yeah, but they've also been riding on playing their album, their favorite albums from front to back. And I love that.
Yeah,
that's not
a way to like grow your audience though.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So they're if anything, they're keeping their audience alive by doing those shows. But like, it's not like this band is fucking raking in the big bucks. So. Yeah. I don't know. It's a super weird thing, but enough. No, we'll this will be another one we update later. I'm sure we'll talk about it again. Do we want to talk about the other thing? What was we want to talk about the Bruno Mars thing?
Sure. Or the Kiss thing?
Whichever one. The Bruno Mars thing seems pretty quick and sad.
Yeah, let's do that. Speaking of millions of dollars, actually. Hey, can you tap my input? I think when you did the air horn, it dipped down. I was waiting for it to come back up.
Wait. So this whole time you haven't...
Dip what?
Where my actual thing plugs in the back. Can you just tap it?
You haven't been able to hear anything the whole time.
There we go.
Okay.
All right. Okay. We're good. Sorry.
That was a while ago.
Yeah, I know.
We were on a roll, man.
Yeah.
We were on a roll. Okay.
So is Bruno Mars, apparently. Not a good roll.
So Bruno Mars. Oh, this is okay. So this is like an update to this, okay. I guess.
Oh, breaking news.
So this is not a current update.
For context, right? We have to say he and Anderson .Paak have a residency that has been renewed a couple times.
Yeah.
In Vegas, and he just opened a whole like themed bar.
Okay.
With his like image on it for MGM.
Yeah.
And now we know why is because he's in massive debt to MGM.
So this basically is I guess that's what this article is leading up to. So he was in $50 million worth of debt, gambling debt, with MGM. Now, this is sad because he has a gambling addiction, but he was, $50 million.
Which I think I saw is what his residency pays every 90 days or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, wait, he gets paid $50 million every 90 days? Holy shit.
Yeah, residencies are great, apparently.
So his post-tax nightly income, so every night, post-tax is $1.5 million from the residencies.
Oh, well, then that's not that much money that he's in debt. That's 50 days.
But he keeps losing $50 million.
Yeah, okay.
So it's he can't...
That's part of the reason they're paying him so much, probably, is that they knew he already had gambling debts, would be my guess.
They're like, guess what, motherfucker? We'll give you a raise if you want.
Well, like, casinos do that for like large customers who like bring in all the money. They're like, well, we'll fly you out here. We'll pay for your flight. We'll give you the penthouse, whatever, and that's how they make more money. So if they're paying him $50 million... and he's gambling away $50 million. They're like, "This is great. He's going to keep going further down this hole, and he's going to be in $100 million now." And
well, you're right about that because he's had a business relationship with MGM since 2016.
Yeah.
So
I saw that and I was like, I wonder, did Anderson .Paak know this when he went into this? Residency with him, because it's like,
well,
that's not necessarily somebody you want to be in business with.
He's not fucking with Anderson .Paak's money, as far as we're concerned.
As far as we know.
But. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
still, do you want to be in business with the guy who has to play the casino because he owes them money?
If we have separate contracts, yes.
So
give me, $50 million, is that what he said, every 90 days?
Well, Anderson .Paak's not getting that.
Well, I know, but still.
So he makes $1.5 million a night.
Yeah.
Post-tax.
Sure.
So
give me that a week.
Yeah, exactly. So
separate contract.
You're the new replacement.
So apparently there's like an insider on this basically said that he never was really going to be in debt because MGM already owned him. So like the reality of him having to actually pay that off is not going to happen.
Right.
Bruno Mars just has to work for MGM and do what MGM wants forever.
Which is honestly, again, probably where the residency started.
Yeah.
Sounds like Elvis.
And definitely where the bar like thing that he opened started, where it's like, we're going to use your brand and you're not going to get any of the money because you owe us money.
Like, that's crazy.
Sounds like Elvis.
We'll forgive $5 million. Well, Elvis is manager, but yeah.
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 Sinatra, everybody who does a residency.
Wow.
Apparently.
I have to stop reading this article because I guess maybe it's the end, so that's perfect because it ends with, but as long as Mars seems to be doing well enough to leave the door open for more performances, we will sexually decline to be worried.
Oh my God.
All right. Vulture, don't do that to me ever again. God damn it. I shouldn't close this.
No.
But I was angry. It was for dramatic effect.
It's like closing the phone.
But you still closed it gently.
Because I don't want to.
He doesn't want to break it.
It's already cracked. Jackson broke it.
Little guy in the back.
Jackson broke my iPad.
Yeah.
Okay. That's enough news. I think two sad, one funny.
That's a good ratio.
I like it. And in reality, the one of the sad was more interesting, and I think will come out well, like on the other side, you know.
Yeah.
And Bruno Mars will be fine.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
So,
you can only feel so bad for somebody making $1.5 million a night.
Exactly.
I feel so bad.
I worry about Bruno. I'm
so worried. Fuck.
If he would send us, $150 for that as a patron.
Yeah.
We would care so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
we could just keep him locked in your chimney with the birds.
Yeah. He'll love it.
Do we sign a deal with MGM? What do we do?
With Bruno in the chimney.
Yeah, yeah. We'll take a little bit of Bruno's money, and he can stay in there and take care of the birds, because I ain't doing it no more. We're starting a new episode thing today. Dave, do you want to explain? This is your idea.
Yeah, I had an idea to. I'm always interested in us being able to put on record why we started doing, like, how we arrived at this place in the first place. So one of the ideas I had was 10 songs, roughly, that we can remember from childhood that got us into music. So before playing instruments, before having friends that were musicians, before having friends.
Yeah.
Things around the house that were like, oh shit, is this music?
Yeah.
Or like stuff that's not like music is a background thing.
Yeah.
Or moments like that music is a thing your parents like play.
Yes.
In the car or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to start it out, my first example, we'll just play it right from the beginning.
Sure.
Is a song by The Big Bopper, who I still don't know who that is, but I hear lots about him. It's called Chantilly Lace.
It's not important.
Hello, baby. Yeah, this is The Big Bopper speaking.
I know we make old jokes that I'm old, but this really dates
this
me.
This is really selling it.
Yeah.
Do I want? Will I want?
I can just picture like a very young Dave bobbing your head to this.
I'll tell you exactly what the scenario is.
Parents being like, I don't know what's wrong with him. This isn't what he's supposed to like. So what year did this come out?
1958.
Yeah. Okay. So, okay, hold on. A
couple years before Dave.
My dad had a record player in our living room in the house that I grew up in.
Do you want to still play in? You want to still?
No, it's fine. Okay. You can leave it. That right there. That part. I was like, yeah, I like the guy. But he had a record player in our living room, and there was like four slots for speakers, and one of the speakers wasn't working, so it was an empty slot. So it was like there was an empty space between two speakers. And I remember sitting in between with this record playing on like an early afternoon, maybe late morning, and just hearing this song come on and feeling the vibration of the music, and just like it sounded so exciting. And it was my earliest memory of music where I go like, where I'm thinking like, this is awesome. This is fucking exciting.
Hey, it is that. I'm right there with you. That definitely is exciting.
I had no idea what the song was about.
Yeah.
I guess he's like getting in trouble.
I don't really know if that's important.
Date.
I don't know.
I don't think that matters.
At the age that I was hearing this, I wasn't thinking about that at all.
Yeah, I'm not really sure if the context is important. I just think it's fun.
Yeah.
If anything,
just like when he says like, "Oh, baby, that's what I like."
Yeah.
I was just like, this is fucking cool, man. This is so cool. And I don't know if this would have been like my dad listening to The Big Bopper, or if it was just like, you know, famous doo-wop hits or famous early hits of the mid-50s or something like that.
Yeah.
But it was vinyl for sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's like my earliest memory of music. And I plumbed the depths to try and find like the first thing I can remember.
How did you find that this was?
I was about to ask.
Because then throughout my life, I remember reinforcing that story. Every time I heard this song, going like, hey, I remember this song. Mm. So it's come with me through my life. So now still when I hear, like, this is one of those songs that if I was ever on stage and somebody was like, hey, do you know Chantilly Lace? I'd be like, yes. What key?
Yeah.
I've never played this song, but I will nail it.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's just there.
So you have a great question of how has it informed your current taste in music?
It hasn't. Actually, you know what? Maybe I'll say it has in that, like, I'll give weird singers a chance.
Oh, okay, sure.
Because this guy in this song, this performance, it's more about character than technique.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's more about showmanship than technique.
Yeah.
And so that like, lots of bands I enjoy now, I have people go like, why do you like that?
Sure.
Like, it's character. I don't know. Yeah. Performance.
Okay. Yeah, I see the connection there. I think that there's something to be said for, like, You're listening not necessarily for like this amazing sense of musicality.
No,
this amazing singer. It's the thing that drags you in, whether it be like the storytelling or the performance or anything like that.
Yeah,
right? Yeah.
I mean, if you listen to it, it sounds like they recorded the track and then the big bopper came in and put its vocal track down.
Yeah, just to go from
the start again, so we can listen to that mix for a second. So this has been the weirdest thing about this whole experiment is that going through and realizing how different I hear things now.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure that's super weird.
Hello, baby.
Also, why is there a bell?
Yeah, this is the Big Bopper speaking.
Right? Why is he laughing?
Oh, you sweet man.
Jesus. It's like a little scary.
I know.
It's like a little terrifying.
It's kind of creepy.
It's a little unhinged.
Yeah. So I needless to say, I'm not like at parties, like when we're partying at your house.
You don't have this record.
Yeah. If you're like, hey, what do you want to hear? I'm not like Chantilly Lace.
Bro, next time drop that shit.
Well, you know. So then another thing I realized is that so much of what's on this list for the next couple of songs is just influence from my parents.
Sure. Yeah.
So let's go to song two.
Okay.
It's a track called If We Make It Through December. Okay. My parents played this song a lot, and it resonated with them because at the time that I would have first heard this, it was like a single-income family with three kids, and my dad was a coal miner.
Right.
So there was some truth to this song for them called If We Make It Through December by Merle Haggard, because the idea is the guy in the song gets laid off, and he's like, if we make it through December... Like, if I can keep my daughter happy, even though she doesn't understand why Santa's not going to be here,
yeah,
then everything's going to be okay in the summer.
Okay, okay.
I'm even getting a little emotional talking about it.
You have a spot in general?
No, just from the beginning. Just the vibe of the song. Because I can picture my parents at the end of a week singing this to each other, listening to this recording.
Wow.
And they would let us sit up and like, hang out with them. December. I just remember watching them sing this to each other, and there was something, some weird feeling about it.
Yeah.
It's the coldest time. And Merle Haggard's voice is so good.
And I shiver when I see the falling snow. If we make it through.
I mean, I can definitely already tell how that informs your current taste now.
Weird, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I can definitely one's no question.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's weird because like it makes sense that the music you listen to a lot growing up is going to come from your parents and is going to inform the kind of music you like to a degree.
Right.
Or the kind of music you maybe like, you know, naturally lean towards.
Yeah. But it's just strange to me now to hear it. And like, yeah.
Like if you said you were listening to this week, I would be like, yeah, that makes sense. Like it wouldn't be weird.
Yeah.
The first one though, I'd be like, I don't know, Dave, we got to talk.
Yeah, exactly.
If you were telling me you've been listening to some Merle Haggard, I'd be like, yeah, of course. If you said, cool. I've been listening to the Big Bopper, I'd be like, well, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to learn some of that, or what's going on there? Yeah, that one makes a whole lot of sense. I feel as though like do you feel as though at any point in time listening to this kind of stuff that not only does like, obviously, like you said, your parents being a thing that informs it.
Yeah.
But do you think that the setting almost plays as like more of a role? Not that it's just your parents, not that it's just like, you know, like good songwriting, but like the story that you told behind the song.
Oh, 100%.
That informs like more than the music itself.
I mean, there's two things that I think of immediately, which is one, obviously memory is tied to emotion. And so seeing my parents singing this song to each other. I didn't understand because I was young enough why they were singing it. I didn't even understand the meaning of the song. So maybe I tied the emotion of them being happy because they knew everything would be okay to like music. And so I think of this song when I think of my childhood a little bit. The other thing I think of is seeing the music itself affect them.
Yeah.
I was when I started thinking like, oh, music is like a big deal.
Yeah.
And not just to me. Like, I like Chantilly Lace in the same way that my parents like If We Make It Through December.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. It seems like music like this, especially when it's like informed by your childhood, it's sometimes you like if I were to, you know, when it'll be my turn to go through this.
Yes.
I can see that there's going to be songs that I probably not that I don't like them now, but I don't know if I liked them for the music or for any of that, but I liked them for the memory, for the thing that it was happening at that time.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So next on the list is definitely shout out to my dad. His favorite band is the Eagles. Hagen, have you ever toured with the Eagles?
We don't.
Okay. Anyway, this is the first time I ever heard bass stick out and thought like, oh, bass. Okay. Actually, no, I didn't think, oh, bass. I thought, what is that cool sound? Because I didn't know what it was. But I also I remember listening to it with my cousin on the staircase at my parents' house. My dad was playing this record, The Greatest Hits of the Eagles. And she was like, why does your dad listen to this all the time? And I got defensive for the first time about music. I was like, because it's good. It's freaking great. Can you hear this?
Listen to the production.
Yeah, listen to that production. And I remember hearing it and thinking, like, do you hear how clear everything is? Like, at, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
9 or 10.
Damn.
Just like, it's great. So good. Yeah. Probably repeating what my dad told me.
Sure, of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So this one's also just, I wanted to see if we could find verse 2.
Sure.
And I can pull up the lyrics. Because this is for now. Listening to,
Ian, I like the Eagles, Ian.
He just can't talk about it.
I'm not allowed to talk about it.
The NDA doesn't expire for a couple years.
I'll message you, Ian.
There is no NDA. I just don't like to publicly speak on it because that's whatever.
So this second verse, I was listening to it again today and really paying attention to it. Mm-hmm. Just listen to the way the vocals are recorded.
What's the lyric?
Right, you were just on it. So this one? Go from one that really screams down. Right there.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool. Oh, fuck me.
Listen to his voice.
God.
So good.
Dude.
Yeah. This is so fucking good.
It's so fucking
good.
The
way it's recorded, this would make sense. Everything is so clear.
I think this one would make sense if any of us mentioned it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
That's a song that gets you to listen to more than just like the radio part of music.
Yeah.
It's incredibly rich.
Yeah. Joe Walsh.
God damn.
Okay, go back to the beginning because I want to play the intro.
Right, bass. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
I didn't know what that was, but I was like, those are cool sounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you imagine pitching this to like an executive at a record label at the time? Because these dudes must have been so full of cocaine to come up with something like this.
What if the bass starts the song?
The bass.
And then we just all kind of make weird noises like that coming in?
Yeah.
And it won't represent at all what the song's going to
feel
like.
Where's beat one? Yeah, no one's going to play it.
And the vocals come in and it's pretty as fuck.
Solid. Yeah. And it's just fucking solid. Anyway.
Yeah.
So that's that one. How that informed my playing now, it's just Timothy B. Schmidt. The way that he plays bass is like, I realize more and more how much it's influenced me.
Yeah, but I think there's such a through line through a lot of bands like this to like honestly, I could see all three of these going into Dawes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's why when I found Dawes, I was like, oh.
Yeah. I can see why like Chantilly Lace and the Merle Haggard tune and the Eagles all make it into aspects of Dawes. And that's I remember the first time you showed me Dawes, I was like, that's fucking Eagles coded as hell, dude.
Yeah,
like,
I know. Especially their first couple of records. It's like,
yeah.
It sounds like the Eagles.
That's and that's a great thing, you know. Yeah. We're not gonna fucking Greta Van Fleet this shit and say fuck them because they sound that way, you know. No, I totally see it 100%. Blake said the execs were also on cocaine.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That is incredibly true. Yeah, that's a great one. That's a really good one. It looks like you've been owned.
Oh yeah, that is sure. that's the first bass player, Randy Meiser. He actually hated this song because he had. If you go to the very end, there's so many high vocals in it, and he just was tortured by it.
Yeah.
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 It's so high. It's so up there. No, that's thanks for doing that, Blake. I appreciate it.
Nice.
But still, anything Timothy B. Schmidt. Actually, I would have heard this song most from the Hell Freezes Over tour because my dad listened to this every Saturday.
You got shit on.
Okay, the next one is shout out to my mom. It's Maggie May by Rod Stewart. Let's go to 44 seconds. We're going to skip the weird guitar intro.
That sounds good.
Really, it's his voice was the first thing that caught me.
Wake up, Maggie. I think I got something to say to you.
This makes sense, too.
Yeah.
It's late September and I really...
No wonder I like Mike Viola.
Sure, but again, I think this reinforces, like, the... Well, let's... Well, we'll wait, and then I'll say the controversial thing. Yeah, I think I... What, do you know what year this would be?
No, I'm gonna... No, I have no idea.
But, yeah, I didn't... let's see. 1971?
Yeah.
I mean, that feels like playing those kinds of chords, that kind of groove. It's like I don't want to say, like, you know, it's in the perfect place, I guess, where it belongs.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, of course you like Mike Viola, all that kind of stuff. The controversial thing I'm going to say is that, you know, listening to that, the Big Bopper and Merle Haggard, I'm going to say, and I'm sorry to that you said he has a great voice, as he does, but they're all weird voices.
Yeah.
Merle Haggard is a weird voice.
Yes.
Merle Haggard is a weird voice that lasted for a long time that people love. And similarly, I would say that, like, it's still different, but, like, I'm going to say in a similar level, like, Willie Nelson is a weird voice that has lasted forever, right?
Yeah.
And maybe it's not that they're necessarily, quote unquote, like weird. Maybe they're just more country, southern, whatever. But, like, they are a strange quality that is not, like, just, like, inherently, wow, that is an amazing voice, right?
Right. Yeah.
And so when I listen to this, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is, like, upbeat song with then, like,
weird voice
that is not, like, just, like, in your face weird and, like, still catchy, good melody, all that kind of stuff.
Right. It just on his voice alone, I have no idea how Rod Stewart has just lasted as long as he has.
I guess it's more of, like, a unique voice. Weird is a better way to put it, maybe.
Sure, that's
it's like,
fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not weird for the sake of being weird. It's just, like, it's their own thing and it's not, like, popular music.
It's character.
Sure. Yeah. That's totally. Yeah.
Something going against the grain whenever it came out.
Yeah.
I mean, Ian said Merle Haggard does not have a weird voice. So in the context of all the people, like all of his peers.
Sure.
He fits right in.
Sure. Yeah.
But that whole, like, that as a concept, the way that he sang, and it is strange.
I think that, like,
country singers are strange.
Country. Yeah. The country voice is a strange voice to make work the way that it does. When you look at how someone sings with, like, southern drawl, it's not just like that's how they talk. Sometimes it is, but a lot of times it's like more of that affectation than than just the way that they talk.
It's like playing it up.
There are some people who definitely do sound that way when they talk, which still is that is a strange accent, right? When you listen to, like, super duper southern people, as we live in Texas, it's like sometimes I grew up with that shit and I'm like, God, that sounds crazy. That's wild. That's how you sound. No problem. I'm not saying weird is a derogatory thing. I don't know if you know this. I'm weird as hell. Like, there's nothing wrong with, like, weird or unique. That's a nicer way of putting it.
Well, I mean, I think unique in that it was different of the time also. Like, it's not like it's a relic of the time period either.
Of course. Yeah. I would just say that their voices have character.
Yeah.
That's really what how I would boil that down.
Yeah.
So maybe I would. Okay. So the next one really is just a funny story attached to my memory of this song, but it's Wouldn't It Be Nice by the Beach Boys. I've said this on the show before, but I feel like I should say it on this episode. I used to listen to the Beach Boys and play Mortal Kombat.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have such a fond memory of that.
It's just a juxtaposition of Mortal Kombat and this
and,
song.
And yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I can only imagine my mom, like, looking in the room and going, like... Or maybe she didn't even think it was weird.
Yeah. I think, real quick, I'm going to address Ian here. He knows what I mean, but before we move on, like, the Big Bopper, I don't think in the context of 1950 and doo-wop has a weird voice.
No.
I think it's characteristic of the time, but
it's a little more over the top, though.
Sure, but I think that was what people wanted at that point, was that kind of thing. So
that's why he did a line of coke and then came in the studio.
Yeah. I think
do your thing. the weird laugh.
I think there's just there's a chance that maybe weird was the but I do think that like the oddities of the voices are a big through line that I'm seeing. The absolutely. Eagles are the only ones so far that's like those are just real pretty.
Yeah, I mean, I would argue that Eagles have a slightly weird like vocal quality to most of their songs. Not in a like a weird way it stands out or anything, but just like
it's Eagles.
It is very them.
Yeah. You hear it and you go, "That's the fucking Eagles."
Yeah, it's super, also like recognizable. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know in history what kind of that's what I was gonna say, Ian. What bands were doing at the peak of the Eagles? But they were all singing.
Yeah,
and they all had hits.
Yeah, exactly.
The Beatles were doing that. Obviously, that's probably the biggest example of it. Yeah, but like, yeah, I don't know.
In my Eagle story, I won't tell. One of the people that I was with was like basically saying like. Over and over and over again, like the Eagles are the biggest American rock band. There's nothing that comes close to like what they do. How all of them singing, all of them doing that. And he just kept saying that over and over and over again. And so, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a big thing that Eagles fans,
yeah,
live by and stand by.
The recording of Seven Bridges Road is like fucking beautiful.
Yeah. Okay. So next one, do you have a timestamp for this? For the
no, just the beginning.
Okay.
Just the whole vibe of the Beach Boys.
Yeah, because it sounds otherworldly.
Finish him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fatality.
And I'm like feet up in the air, laying on my belly, yeah. Playing Mortal Kombat.
That is a weird pairing.
Yeah.
It's a little psychotic.
But I think I this would have been on like, probably had Pet Sounds on like cassette tape.
Sure, yeah.
Or
yeah.
Maybe CD at this point. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing this song on like a like murder spree montage on a movie now.
Yeah.
It would totally work.
Or totally work. in a trailer for like the new season of Barry or something.
Yeah.
And there's like a bunch of bullets and shit flying.
It would honestly be like, I don't know if I would hate it or love it if like, cause they're doing Mortal Kombat movies now.
Yeah.
If like the trailer for the next one had that
dude,
in there.
If that happens.
Yeah, you got to get a producer credit on that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. We're going to let's make sure that we've like, you know, we have this episode saved. We're going for it. Yeah, that is definitely I understand. Again, I
ignore it.
Yeah. I understand how that also informs like your current taste in music. But the juxtaposition is probably the strangest thing about it.
Yeah.
About
so
the
I mean,
Mortal Kombat Beach Boys thing.
Yeah. That and like one of my older students pointed out to me like, hey, did you ever realize that all the Beach Boys songs are about wanting to have sex but being too young?
Cool.
And I was like, no, I didn't think any. He started riling off songs, and I was like, oh my God. Wouldn't it be nice if we were older, then we wouldn't have to wait so long?
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of.
Nope. Don't do it.
Nope. The next on the list is when I saw something that wasn't shown to me for the first time. I found it. I mean, me and millions of other people, but it's Get Down by the Backstreet Boys.
That's still like valid that you found that.
Sure.
Like that's not
your parents didn't play this.
Yeah.
No, not at all. And they didn't understand it.
But
this is me like starting to watch Much Music, which is our Canadian MTV.
So this was playing, like, I don't know, like 15 years after this song came out, right? You have a timestamp for this?
No, just from the beginning.
For me, you're my ecstasy, you're the one I need.
Max Martin.
Yeah.
Damn.
Uh-huh.
The MIDI synth, the MIDI horns. There's nothing about this that I think I was super into musically. I think it was the image of the band.
Okay.
And the haircuts they had.
I get that.
Probably me at that age wanting to fit in and look cool.
Yeah.
And I wanted to have that like part, you know, the 90s part down the middle with the hair flipped over like a
like
a butler.
It's more it was
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I didn't aspire to that.
It was more image based than music based.
Yeah.
But I do think that like there's got to be something to be said for just the like the idea of just liking pop music.
Yeah.
And or like finding, like you said, like feeling like you discovered something.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, one of the I think truly like one of the most like damaging things we can do as like music listeners is try to like dissect why certain things are bad.
Exactly.
Or even sometimes why certain things are good, because that is like, you know, we're like, we can just like things or not like things. Pop music being one of those things that's just like, sometimes we're like, we're trying to overly like dissect the reasons why it's bad or good. And I think this is a great example of pop music's just fucking good.
It's just good.
Yeah. Like,
and like the key bass in the recording, because now when I hear it, and I've played some Backstreet Boys songs on stage, like, obviously cover bands and stuff, and I'm like, this shit slaps.
Yeah.
It's so much fun to play.
Yeah.
I last night I learned Waterfalls by TLC.
Yeah.
The bass part on that is insane.
Dude.
And I was like, how did I not hear this at all?
That's crazy.
At this age, too, is when I would have been like hearing that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, but you know, it wasn't about the amazingness of the key bass part. It wasn't about, it wasn't even about like the amazingness of the vocals. It was like, check out this whole thing.
It's the total package.
Yeah, exactly.
It was there's my ticket. If I look like these guys and if I like this music, I will be cool.
Yeah. Or just like you will be cool. And then also like I look at this and it's like fun and simple and like, oh, boom. I don't have, like, there's nothing else I need.
Exactly.
I can stand in front of the TV and dance and, like, have a good time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay. So at this point is where I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, but okay. I'm still not really playing bass yet or into music.
Okay.
But I'm starting to, like, you know, think I like music. My older brother, Ian, who's always in the chat, like he just said there, he said, when I was old enough to, he got a Columbia House, basically a subscription, and he would get CDs sent, and he let me pick one, and that was the one I picked, was that
awesome.
Backstreet Boys CD.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he was listening to new music all the time, and I was still watching music, so he was listening to heavier music. I remember being scared shitless of Metallica, because the point in Enter Sandman when he says, "Now I lay me down to sleep," and the kid repeats it, prayer I used to say when I was a kid.
Right.
And it was an old man that looked like a ghost, and it scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, so... something else that started to come on. I was like, oh, I'm starting to like heavy music. So this next one is a Canadian band called Billy Talent. This is a single of theirs. And let's go to 2 minutes and 5 seconds. Not super heavy, but...
but like heavy enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now listen to this.
So then you found Foo Fighters a couple years later.
First scream I ever heard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like for myself, and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. Dude.
And the harmony there too. Yeah.
Get a little bit of everything.
Yeah. The very little bit of like angst I ever experienced. This did something for me.
Did you not experience a lot of angst?
No. No.
What? Really?
No.
Oh,
no.
Man. That's
I was
crazy.
A very subdued. I mean, I threw temper tantrums.
Sure, sure, sure.
But, like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I didn't feel very angsty.
Okay. No. Well, yeah, I mean, with that, I, like, you know, you can 100% hear, like, the those through lines of how important, like, vocal qualities and, like, harmonies and stuff like that are right away.
That guy's got a weird voice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it works.
But the harmonies, too, like, that you know, we call back to the Eagles, Beach Boys, and dare I say Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
Of like the harmonies you're hearing in that background there. It calls back to that, the weird voice of the other examples. And then it all comes together in one culmination of you're you know, experiencing whatever angst you are experiencing, and this just gives you that release, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't need to be like the heaviest thing in the world. You know, that is pretty fucking heavy.
It's pretty heavy. Yeah, but I think more so for me at this time in my music listening thing, music started to feel like a place of like comfort.
Yeah.
Where I felt like upset and, you know, like a little bit angsty. And all I wanted to do was listen to music.
Yeah.
And so I would sit, like, in particular, I remember being at my aunt and uncle's house, and everybody is upstairs, like, you know, in the pool and doing stuff. And I'm sitting in their basement because we had those in Canada. And fucking Texas doesn't have
it's important to say we don't have those in Texas.
Yeah. I'm sitting in their fully furnished basement and listening to this by myself.
Yeah.
Like totally. This whole record, because I'm just like, nobody understands how good Billy Talent is.
Yeah. 100%. I I think that's an incredibly relatable thing for anybody who's ever, I mean, like, I think almost every person who's like, you know, grown up has had that thing that no one else understands. They like it.
Exactly.
And like,
I mean, it's why punk music exists.
Yeah. Well, and it's like,
and it is like a generational thing.
And it's like, you know, deep down, like a lot of times we want to share that thing with somebody, but everyone just shits on it. Like, you're the angsty teen. Shut the fuck up. Why do you like that thing? And you're like, well, you don't fucking get it. I love this.
Exactly.
And this is the best thing ever. And you can see throughout all of this how we got to that point.
Right.
Yeah, that's so great.
Now let's go back to the next one is also while playing video games, and it's Goodbye Sky Harbor by Jimmy Eat World.
Playing skate or Tony Hawk Pro Skater? Or
no, Driver. Or like, I forget what it was called,
Driver.
But
we didn't have that here.
No, right. it was just a driving game.
Like Forza? Just a car simulator? Like,
I forget what it's called. Okay. It was on PlayStation.
Okay.
And you could just drive around. And I would just drive around. And
like, it I said like, car it was, simulator like half seriously, but...
Like it wasn't a racing game.
No. I mean, maybe it was. I don't remember what
Gran
it was called.
Gran Turismo.
No, because that's like a for real racing game, right?
Well, it can be, but you also, depending on the game, there were like spots you could just drive around.
You just hang out, yeah.
I don't know.
It's crazy. Okay, well.
Anyway, this is the thing that struck me about this is just the intro of it.
Okay.
But it's also the first song that is like above 5 minutes, and it's 16 minutes long.
Wow.
Oh, did not know that.
Holy shit. Okay, here we go.
Oh, yeah. Ian, do you remember what game it was? Because he said it happened to be in the game.
Dude.
Isn't this killing?
Yeah. Cruising USA, maybe? See that?
No.
They probably had a different version there.
Cruising A?
So, hold on, how is this song that long, though?
Dude, we'll get there. Okay. We're not going to listen to the whole thing, but...
Because, like, I like long songs.
Yeah.
I don't see how this one gets...
They do this?
Long. Like, fade out a bit?
I think the back half of it is just this, but... for a really long time.
Gotcha.
Oh, okay.
Great track.
Yeah,
anyway,
that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, I would just listen to this over and over again.
Yeah, I totally see that. That's a super, like, again, where the through line makes perfect sense.
Yeah, strange voice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, also harmonies.
Like, these last two, especially, harmonies. Like, compared to what you listen to, that you mentioned things you're listening to now, like, those two both, like, immediately are like, yeah.
I get it.
I do think this is probably, like, the first time where, well, I think we're probably the Billy Talent maybe as well. But it seems like this seems like the first time where like you can hear the band be really rhythmic together. Like,
yeah.
Like the rhythm section of the band is like this is our bitch,
dude. And
like,
you
yeah.
That nothing makes me happier.
Yeah,
than
exactly.
Doing that kind of shit.
Yeah,
in
exactly.
A band.
Yeah. So like that seems to be like, hey, this is like, hey, check this out. We're gonna fucking play together, and it's gonna be the thing that makes this song.
And it's deeply ingrained.
Yeah.
Like from this, maybe I was 10.
Yeah.
No, I think I was still. Younger than 10 because I started playing bass at 10.
Okay. Yeah.
So, okay, the next one is, speaking of a band, this is another Canadian band. It is the band Chore. It's the song The Hitchhiker, and the timestamp is 4 minutes and 30 seconds. Before we play this one, in the music video for this song, they're in their garage in the middle of what looks like Saskatchewan or something. It's just the middle of this snowy field with a garage, and they're just jamming this song. So the section that happens at the end, they're rocking the fuck out, and then it cuts to a wide shot of the garage, and you can hear the song as if you're hearing it from a distance, like they're jamming the garage.
Cool. Yeah.
And then it cuts back in, and they're still rocking the hell out.
Yeah.
And I just remember that was the first time I was like, I want to be in a band,
because
that looks fucking cool.
That's cool.
Okay. All right,
let's check it out. Long note. Yeah.
Long high note.
Yeah. Again, super rhythmic.
The band's lining up.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's get it, let it go a little bit.
Yeah.
I've seen recently Dallas Green from City and Color, also from Alexis on Fire, played this song with the band and sang that part.
Wow.
And it was like, that's how legendary it is. Check this out. Listen to how old those guitar distortions are.
Yeah.
So then it would be outside of the barn.
Yeah, that's cool.
Have you played this before on the show? Because this sounds...
I don't think so.
Super recognizable to me, and I don't know why.
Maybe you might have heard it when you were a kid.
Maybe, but it seems unlikely if it's a Canadian band, right?
So. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the rest of the song.
That's great. Yeah, that's great.
How good is that?
That's awesome.
And then the last song is... I had to put an Incubus song in there.
Yeah.
Because it was around that time... Yeah, Blake. Canadian sunny day real estate.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah, 100%.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I like the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
Anyway, I had to put Incubus in there because they're the first band that after my older brother Ian was like, I don't know why I keep saying my older brother, but he was like, I'm going to play guitar, but you can play bass. And so I was like, all right, I'll get a bass. And the same year that I got a bass was the same year that Incubus released this record called Morning View. And they did the Morning View sessions, which is where they played the record front to back on, like, basically on TV.
Okay.
And I remember watching it, and then it somehow got recorded. I don't know how, but I watched it constantly. And before I could even play anything, I would just stand in the living room and play that video and try to mimic what the bass player is doing.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
But I put this one on. This whole record's really good. I'm biased because I really like them. Listen to the first part. Hagen, you probably already know this, but listen to the first part, the bass part, and tell me how it influenced me. See if you can get it. It's that right there.
Just that?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, he'll do it again.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, like how specifically that influenced
you?
Yeah,
like- in Moniker.
Oh, in Moniker? Oh, Things Have Changed?
Yeah. Ripped it off, totally.
But I also like the idea of those kinds of high bass slides being really prominent. The idea of like, and I obviously this was like, you know, before your time as like, you know, a jazz musician or someone who was like playing like solos and stuff, but like even before, like, you know, I guess when I saw you play, that was like initially that's what you were kind of doing with like the first band that I saw you play with. But
right.
Also not really, like you were playing like bass lines up here.
Yeah.
Like that seems to be like an informing thing of your bass playing of like, I could make cool shit.
I can go up here.
Up here. Yeah.
It's not
yeah.
the dusty area.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think that's a great example of that.
So that's the man. I mean, this was really hard. To make this list.
I imagine so.
It was difficult to think of the first few.
Yeah.
And then it was really hard to, once I opened the floodgates.
Because they only have 10.
Yeah.
Sure.
So be prepared for that when you guys do it.
Yeah.
I fully expected that, like, the title of this says 10 songs that hooked me. And I was looking for, like, is this actually 10 songs?
Or
is this, like,
10.
16, 17?
No.
Yeah, I think this is great.
Because it seems hard to do that, yeah.
Well, it is.
I mean, I think you can really clearly see, like we've said, the through line of how you got to certain places. I do think it'd be interesting, perhaps, to almost make like a retrospective playlist, like on the flip side of this series of like, now here's like the 10 songs that made me, and you could see like the hook to me, and then you could see like where did we get to, you know?
But you know, because we know
what you listen to.
Exactly.
And if you're a listener of the show and you pay attention to what we're listening to and like how we feel about music, then yeah, you could probably tell like how this informed Dave as a person.
Of course.
Yeah. But, like, you can at least hear the first, like the last half of this list and be like, yeah, I understand it.
Yeah.
But it is interesting to kind of just see like, oh, these are like, you know, these are 10 songs you grew up with. But then where does that take you? And it births this. You know?
Yeah.
It's great.
Dawes.
Yeah, Dawes.
No, I mean, there's so much to it. But it is interesting to look at it. Once I got the list and listened to it, I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm not doing anything surprising. And then all of these songs have incredible bass playing.
Yeah. Yeah. The bass is... really, really prominent in a lot of this, the rhythmic idea, the vocals, whether they be like, you know, unique individualist characteristic vocalists or the harmonies, vocal harmonies, all of that being really, really prominent stuff that like leads you to places where, yeah, this is stuff that you've liked. So,
the only honorable mention would be Hanson.
Oh yeah.
I should have put Hanson on there, but just wasn't room.
I think you've, I know it's different, but like the Backstreet Boys kind of serve a purpose for that as well. Yeah. So it's like, you know, I imagine that
going it would have been list, in that spot.
Yeah, going through that list, it's like I don't really know, like, you know, where do you place, you know, even if it's like, you know, similar style, different band, which one goes?
Exactly.
You know? So yeah. Well, thanks for this, Dave. This is a great start to this. And this is also an invitation for all of our listeners, all of our viewers, everybody out there. Let us know the 10 songs that hooked you. Let us know your formative material. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear about those songs that hooked you, that made you.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah. Yeah. Do we talk about what we're listening to?
My childhood.
Yeah. Man, it's interesting. I feel like I have nothing and yet so much that I haven't really talked about. There's a couple things that I'll mention. So we listened to this on Fun Friday. 4 Years Strong released a single, Daddy of Mine, and it is incredible. I'm a huge fan of it. I was really fascinated. They released a single called Dead End Friend like a month or so ago. I was like, it's okay. And I was like, I don't really know what they're going to do next. And then Daddy of Mine came out. I was like, this is fucking brutal. This is heavy as hell. I'm shocked at this. So that's really good. I keep going back to Audio Vertigo, the Elbow album, and finding things that I really like. But it's not like a long listen, but it's like dense. It's relatively dense.
It's very dense.
So that's been a tough one. And you don't have to write this down, Adam, but I didn't get to talk about it on the main show last week. But I saw Between the Buried and Me 2 nights in a row, and I got to fall in love with my favorite band all over again. It was awesome. I'm obsessed with them again. I can't stop. It's wonderful to fall in love again. You know.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Yeah. So. I got nothing. I've been listening.
I think that makes sense. You were
yeah.
putting this.
I've been listening to this stuff and learning a fuckload of tunes.
Nice. Nice.
50 in the last 48 hours.
Jesus, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
For fun? Good.
No.
No, I was about to say that, but then I was like, no, it's for work.
No.
I've enjoyed listening to the deluxe album of Olivia Rodrigo's album Guts.
I haven't listened to it yet.
All of the deluxe album tracks, great.
Okay.
This thing's great. It's got me listening to the album whole thing again. The very last song feels kind of indicative of where she might go in a different direction in the future.
Cool.
It's great. Yeah.
Okay.
And then Vampire Weekend's new album. Okay. Listened to it today and pretty much immediately was like, yeah, this is great.
Nice.
I really like this album. Did not expect to like it.
I did like the first song on the album. The first song's good. Yeah. I like the first song.
I don't think it's bad. We listened to a couple songs on Fridays. Yeah.
I think it's one of those things where you either like it and you're cool with it, and if you don't, you're not going to like it because it's not going
to
change.
Interestingly enough, I meant to text you about this, but I forgot. One of the lead guy on Vampire Weekend, who I think is their producer as well, but I could be wrong, he was one of the producers on Lemonade.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Huh. Yeah. I was like, because that new album came out, there was a lot of feelings being shared about Vampire Weekend because that lead singer has some past controversies that has split the fan base. Some people are like on his side, against his side, like the story's muddy, whatever. I'm not really here to talk about that part.
Right.
But because of that, also people were like talking about the stuff that he has done in the past. One of those things being he was one of the producers on Lemonade.
Oh, that's weird.
I don't think I would have guessed that.
Hell no.
There's a list of many producers on Lemonade.
Of course.
Yeah. For sure. Well, great. Great episode. Anybody got anything else?
No.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for watching. We appreciate it so much. Let's give it up for Dave one time for this great episode format.
I can't wait till y'all do it.
For this great episode, everything. It was amazing. Thank you, Dave. Good work.
My pleasure.
Please, we'd love to hear from you. Like I said, so if you have 10 formative songs or even just any one formative song you want to share with us, send us a DM. And you could do that on Instagram at DFTA Podcast. You could do that on TikTok at Don't Feed the Artist. And you can email us at feedback@don'tfeedtheartist.com. I did it in a different order this time because it felt natural.
That was great.
If you haven't already, please follow or subscribe on whatever podcast app you're using. If you're on YouTube, hit the subscribe button. That should help us out a lot. Like the video, like the stream. That stuff is incredibly helpful. We'd love it if you could do that for us. If you're on a podcast app, like say Spotify, for example, and you're listening and you're liking this, go ahead and leave us a little 5-star review. That also helps us out a lot. I forgot that's a thing on podcast apps.
So go ahead. You can do that on Apple Podcasts too. You can also get transcripts in the episodes now, which is really interesting to go look at if you're trying to find something we talked about at one point.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you can go on Apple Podcasts, give us a little 5-star review. You can go through the transcripts where I said we are Morgan Wallen, number one fan podcast. That's what I said.
I am going to submit a modified transcript for this episode.
Modify it to number two fan podcast.
But yeah, so if you haven't done those things, we would really appreciate it if you would. They help us out a ton. And if you're free on Friday afternoons, come join me and Dave for Fun Fridays. We listen to new music that came out. We're live on YouTube, and we're also live on Twitch, DFTA Podcast on Twitch. You can go find us there, follow us there, all that good stuff as well. I think that's everything. Thank you guys so much, and
fuck off!